Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm. Every day I'm. Every day I'm hustling.
Hello, welcome to Jewels on the Hustle. Happy 2022, because this is my first episode of this year, unfortunately. But it's good to be back. It's been a little hectic on my end, and I'll let you know why in a second. But I hope everyone's doing well. I'm currently in New York where I live, and it's a beautifully warm March morning, Monday morning. That's a good way to start the week. Looks like we're going to reach like the high 60s. So it is not a bad thing for us New Yorkers. Anyway, so why have I been away for so long? Well, the beginning of January, I got a job with NBC Sports, which is super exciting for me to cover all pro sports. I had to say goodbye to a wonderful role at Newsday and at the U.S. Sun, but at Newsday I was covering high school sports, and at the Sun I was covering like news and politics. So I think this is a direction that I'm very happy to be going into, reporting on pro sports, definitely something I know best and I'm most passionate about. It's such a wonderful feeling when I'm reporting and I feel that adrenaline rushing when I'm like, you know, when a good game occurs or just a highlight happens, and the inner athlete in me just comes out, and I'm just, I don't know, like I love it. And it's really hard to find that excitement in other things like regular news, but I'm still obviously finding my path and seeing what I like most. But right now, pro sports is where it's at. So I had the opportunity to interview Alina Svitlina, the 27-year-old from the Ukraine, ranked 15 in the world. She was the top seed in the WTA in Monterrey, Mexico. And when she saw that draw, that she had drawn Russia's Anastasia Potapova, she said she was shocked. I mean, there were two Russians in the draw. And she drew one of the Russians. Alina told me there was no way I was going to step on the court if there was Russian or Belarusian representation on the other side of the net. Now, I know this was more prevalent a week ago, but I had to write an article about it and I did a lot of social media on it. So it is a few days late, but I don't know if anyone else was able to really like talk to her about it fully, like interview her like right before her match. So this is the full interview that I'm posting here in this episode. Just to sum up a little bit, she said that she did reach out to Potapova's team when she saw the draw and asked them to neutralize the flag before the match, and she had not heard back. Now, like, while, yeah, that would be wonderful and, you know, that would be ideal. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of scary for Potapova to do? Putin would not be thrilled about that. And so, I mean, while yes, like all for Ukraine, standing up for Ukraine, I think for Potapova, she needed to get that direction from the WTA to be safe herself. So I don't know. That goes way beyond my opinion, but that's what happened there. And then she said Svitlina decided to reach out to the WTA when she didn't hear back from Potapova. And they said they were going to have a meeting and come up with a plan. So that was that. I don't want to go into it too much because I don't want to spoil it. Other than that, she just applauded Naomi Osaka last year for standing up for Black Lives Matter at the Western and Southern Open. And then they gave, you know, a day suspension of play. So she's wondering why the WTA was so quick to take a call to action during that event. But for this, no one's speaking.
Alina, when were you last in the Ukraine? I was last in Ukraine in February. Not in February,
How?
sorry, in February. Not in February, sorry. We are in February right now. I was in Ukraine in December last.
And how would you describe what life is like there now and what it has been like the last few days?
The last few days has been the worst time of our lives for all Ukrainian people who are there for sure. For them, it's been the worst possible situation. And for people who are watching from outside, for me personally, I feel very helpless because I'm not there to help my friends, my family who are there struggling big time with everything, what is going on in our country. So this has been a really, really tough time. We haven't been able to sleep properly, to do anything. All the people that I speak, they've been feeling same way, and it's really terrifying times.
How have you been able to connect with your family back home?
I was trying to keep the contact with my family, with my friends. It's, I think it's very important to keep the contact with everyone. I try to, to do what is in my power. I cannot do much, but for me it was just important that they are as safe as it is possible, because obviously there is a war going on. And it's extremely tough for everyone who are there. They cannot sleep. They're hearing explosions all the time. There's noise going all the time. They need to hide under the ground, in the basements, the parkings. So this is really, really tough for everyone who are there, and cannot imagine even 5% of what is really happening there. And for how much pain they are going through.
Do you fear your own safety or your family's safety after taking a stance against Russia?
For now, I don't think about myself much. I only think about my family, my friends, all people, all Ukrainians who are there fighting for our country. I have huge amount of respect for every single person who took a weapon in their hands, and girls and guys who are trying to do their best to defend our country. And this is for me what every single day I'm praying for their safety. And this is something really hard to accept, that in your country right now there is a war and a lot of innocent people are dying. We in our cities, the schools, the hospitals, and many other buildings are getting destroyed. So this is really tough to accept and to live with that.
Now, how could you expect from yourself to even begin to compete in a tournament? How has it been on your mental health, just trying to go out on the court and focus on the ball?
Seeing all the people who are fighting for our country right now, the girls, the guys, the some volunteers who decided to take a weapon and fight for our country, really gives me so much courage, and I have so much respect for what they decided to do our country, because they could escape really, really, and not do that. But a lot of people came back to Ukraine. Like my fellow countryman Sergei Stachowski, he came back to Ukraine to defend our land, and a few of my friends also did the same thing. So this is something that in our blood, you need to have so much courage to go there fiercely and really fight for Ukrainian people and for our country. So I try to think that all these people are doing this for my country, so I have to go on the court and do something what is in my power right now. So that's why I decided to give my prize money to to the Ukrainian army to help them to fight our enemy who are attacking us, attacking innocent people and killing a lot of innocent people as well.
Now, you're in Monterey for the WTA, top-seeded player facing Russia's Anastasia Potapova. What was your initial reaction to seeing the draw?
I was very surprised because here in Monterey, we don't have many Russian players, and I didn't really think then that I could actually play a girl from Russia straight away in the first round. So I was really surprised and shocked in the way, because to be fair, I didn't really think about the tournament at all. You know, I was, all my thoughts were with the Ukrainian people. And then when the draw came out, yeah, I was shocked. And straight away, you know, I had a thought that it's impossible that I go on court with Russian flag, seeing a Russian flag.
Yeah.
In front of me. So that's why I made a statement that if WTA is not going to take any action regarding our situation, for me, I don't see a way that I'm going to step on the court seeing the Russian flag, because I think WTA didn't do enough. At this moment, it's been already 5 days when Ukrainian people are fighting for their lives. Many associations, like football associations, took an action, but WTA, I wish, could do more. And we are such a powerful association as well, WTA, ATP, ITF. So we definitely could do better. So that's why I thought this would be the right thing for me to do.
Right. You released a statement and you said ahead of your first round that you would not play unless these changes were made. You haven't heard back from the WTA since this afternoon?
They are having a meeting, but they're really considering to remove the flag, and that all the Russian players are playing under neutral flag.
Did you see Anastasia's statement that was released a little while ago in response to yours, maybe?
No, I didn't see.
Okay. Do you want to take a look at it and tell me what you think of it? Or
okay.
If you wouldn't mind.
You want me to do it now? I mean,
yeah,
my phone?
I would love to see your reaction to her statement. Or do you want me to read it to you? Or you can read it.
Like, yeah, I can.
You want me
can
to read
you
it?
Read it, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just a few minutes before our Zoom that she wrote something. Let's see if I can find it. Here, yeah. Oh, that's yours.
Julia, can you pin her as well, please, instead of speaker?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that good?
Yes, correct. That's great.
All right. As a rule, even in childhood, we choose our own path of development. Even when I was a kid, I dreamed of playing tennis without choosing a match, a country, or a partner in the game. It is difficult to explain to people from politics that for me, there is no opponent from any country. I am fighting for victory, my best game for my result. Unfortunately, now we are professional athletes, are essentially becoming hostages of the current situation. Playing tennis is our choice and our dream, to which we go daily practicing and constantly trying to be better in our results. I'm sorry, but even though I am a stranger to politics, I am against grief, tears, and war. The peace unites the world, and everyone should remain human in it, and children should continue to dream.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. It's good that she says something, because we were trying to contact her before, when we found out that play against her, to propose that, you know, she's playing under a neutral flag, but we didn't get any response on that. So that's why I thought that I'm gonna go a bit wider through WTA, and I think WTA are taking some actions. So for me, as I mentioned in my statement, I really respect all the players who are standing for Ukraine and who are, you know, saying something, saying their opinion.
Were you expecting a different response from her, maybe saying that, you know, responding to staying neutral, especially as a young Russian athlete up and coming?
Well, for me, it's if you don't give up your flag, it means you're supporting your country. I understand that you've been playing for all your life for your country. You were born there, you were raised there, but the certain circumstances, it happens like this, and we can see the worldwide reaction about banning a lot of Russian athletes from their sports. So it's not like there is only one person who are saying that Russian athletes should not compete, but this is a worldwide statement from many sports and many associations that the action has to be taken, like the sanctions for Russia. Many countries made the sanctions. So we are also the sport association. So that's why my opinion that the sanctions has to happen. Nothing against the athletes really, but it's the statement for the government, because other way we cannot reach them.
Definitely. And how about the support that you have gotten, though, from, you know, other tennis players, other athletes, or just in general for Ukraine? How has that felt, and what has that meant to you?
Many tennis players messaged me. They proposed the help if some of my friends or some of my family would be going through their country in Europe, mostly if they are in need of hospitality. It is very, very kind of them. But still, I think there could be much more done in this situation, because when in the past there've been some really tough subjects raised before, I think tennis community really united and was standing together. Mm-hmm. So this situation is not different. We have a war going on, and a lot of countries are involved as well in helping us. So I think regarding our tennis community, I think we could do much more and could stand together a bit better.
Now, when you mentioned race, right? When you said that, it reminded me of the Western and Southern Open last year, you know, Osaka giving her stance and then them suspending a day of play. Are you kind of wondering when the WTA is going to make their move on this issue?
Yes, for sure. That's what I was saying. There have been some issues before in the past. And this is right. Like Naomi Osaka, she did the right thing. And WTA, they reacted straight away. There've been some really big events happening in the past, and WTA made their move, and a lot of players supported. So that's why I feel like that this is my mission to invite people to try to, you know, tell them that we should stand together.
Yeah,
stand for Ukraine.
It's like you're using this like moment to take a stance and stand up for something that's maybe larger than the tennis court, of course.
Yes, for sure. We're not talking about tennis anymore, you know. there is innocent people who are dying. So that's we are talking worldwide. If we cannot attract tennis community enough, I mean, this is my mission. I'm a tennis player, so I want to attract. There's a musician from Ukraine. They spoke with Spotify and the Apple Music to change the covers for the albums, and they made it straight away, and they stand with Ukraine. So, and there's different kind of industries that made the move, like a football, as I say, the FIFA, they made the move as well. They now every Russian is playing under neutral flag. So why not tennis community? So that's why, as I say, I feel like I'm Ukrainian, and I feel like this is my mission to do the same thing for tennis.
And my last question for you is, describe the importance of Russian athletes like Rublev condemning the war publicly for what he did, you know, what he wrote on the camera.
For me, it's important that we stand together, that we stand for Ukraine, because what is happening right now is not acceptable. That a lot of people are really, really struggling there in Ukraine. And I think that we just should unite and stand together. This is simply as that. And yeah, doesn't matter from which country you are, but if you are silent, it means that you support the Russian aggression. So this is what I don't really understand, why a lot of sports people are keeping silent.
Anything else you'd like to share?
I think I said enough.
Yeah, you said a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Fernando. Are we good on your end?
Yeah, can I ask you a one last question, if that's okay? Are there any, so let me turn my video on so you can see me. Are there any conversations you've had with friends or family in the last few days that are in Ukraine that kind of highlight, you know, what's going on there right now and what life is like?
Who are in Ukraine or outside Ukraine, do you understand?
In Ukraine.
Yeah, I had a conversation with many people, and different cities, different stories. In Kiev and Kharkiv is for now the worst situation possible. In Kiev, for example, my friend, she's living a little bit outside of Kiev, and she's been really struggling with finding food, because for the past 5 days she couldn't leave the house. Because there've been some explosions going on, there've been some shooting outside of her house. Her and her 2-year-old child been really terrified about hearing this all the time during the night, during the day, and she's been really struggling. Also, in some parts of the city, they cut down the electricity, so this been really tough for some other people. And some people, they just simply cannot leave their house because some of the bridges, some of the roads, they've been bombed and completely broken down. So they cannot leave the house, they cannot leave the city. And that's, this is really sad. I already don't talk about people who are sleeping in the underground, who are in the basements for many days. This is really terrifying. I think it's a lifetime damage to your mental health.
Thank you.
Did the WTA tell you when they were going to reach a decision, or?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And you're not going to step on the court if she walks out with a Russian flag?
No, if they don't change the flag to the neutral, I'm not gonna play.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alina. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so there it was. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really appreciated Alina taking the time to speak with me, with NBC Sports. I mean, by this point, I would hope everyone knows what happened because of her, the WTA, and I believe the ATP as well. They neutralized the Russian and Belarusian flags. She did go on court. There were, like, if you were watching on TV or live stream, there were no flags on the ranking systems, no flags for those two countries. So that's good to see. Congratulations, Aunt Svitolina. She said she made it her mission and she succeeded. She did win the first two rounds of the tournament, and then she lost to Colombia's Camila Osorio, who I beat. humble brag. Well, she is a lot. Well, actually, yeah, she's a few years younger than me, and she wasn't as good as she is now, but I like to brag that I do have a win on her. Anyway, humble brag. So this was a great episode, lots of fun. I hope we can do these again more regularly with other incredible guests. Follow me, guys, on Twitter at Jules L. Baba, because I'm posting a lot of the interviews I'm doing with the high-level athletes and just lots of, like, important information. For instance, I just did an interview with tennis majors about, the dark side of social media as a tennis player and a lot of the stuff that I had to deal with when I was a player, some of the death threats and all that good stuff. So that all can be seen on my Twitter. And if you want, you can follow me on Instagram at Jules L. Baba as well. Other than that, it's been a pleasure. I will see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm hustling.